Afternoon. If you'll turn with us to the book of Judges, chapter number 16, a very familiar passage of scripture. When we pick up our reading tonight, you'll know exactly where we are. Judges chapter number 16, and we'll read these passages of scripture, and then we'll kind of take our thought from the from several chapters, I guess, and develop what God wants us to see tonight. You pray for me as I preach. I would certainly appreciate it, and I could use the help. Judges chapter number 16, and if you're there, if you'll stand up, we'll read a few verses together and let you get the blood flowing in your legs, and that way you'll be ready when it's preaching time. Judges chapter 16 and verse number 15, and she, and this is Delilah, said to him, and that's Samson, you know where we're at. And she said to him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lord of the Philistines come up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knee, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And probably some of the saddest words in all of your Bible. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Father, help us these moments, I pray. God, I pray that you would give us honest hearts tonight. Lord, let us see what the Holy Ghost wants us to see. God, help us to judge it and do something with it. We pray in Jesus' name. Being some of the life of Samson. There are two things that we all know about this man, Samson. First of all, we know that he had great strength, do we not? And we know that that strength come from his hair. Secondly, we know that Samson made a great mistake in that he told Delilah his secret. Isn't it funny how that we often remember the best and the worst about people? For example, if I was to make this statement tonight, you can maybe fill in the blanks. If I was to say David and, you would probably think one of two things. You either Goliath, or you would think David and Bathsheba. His greatest victory and his greatest defeat. And oftentimes we remember those things about someone. And the same is true of this man, Samson. We know his great strength and we know his great fall. If you read the story of Samson, however, in the book of Judges, you'll discover that there's so much more to this man than simply these two things. In fact, I believe if you study the life of Samson, you'll discover what is, in my opinion, one of the saddest stories in all the pages of the Bible. This man was born with great potential, but that potential was squashed. He could have done great things for God, but he died in shame. He should have delivered his people from the Philistines, but instead he died a prisoner to the Philistines. I believe that the reason this man who had such great potential died the way that he died is this. Everything was a game to Samson. His life, his walk with God, his future, and even his sin was a game. He played with fire and it burnt him. Tonight I want us to take a quick look at Samson
And in so doing, I believe we will see a warning for each of us. A warning that we should not go down the path that this man went down. I struggled with the title of my message this week. I really did. I thought at first of entitling this message, Playing a Game with Sin. But instead, I decided to entitle it this, Playing Games with God. You see, I believe Samson played a game with more than just sin. He played a game with God and God's calling and God's purpose for his life. And by the time the message is over, maybe you'll see that. I want to show you four things of the life of Samson and preach tonight on playing games with God. Write this down. Number one, I see the game of sin. The game of sin. The Bible says this in Judges chapter 14, verse 12 and 13. It says, "And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you, if you can certainly declare it me within 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of raiment. But if you cannot declare it me, then you shall give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of raiment." And they said unto him, "Put forth thy riddle that we may hear it." When you read through the pages of the Word of God, you'll discover that there's something amazing in Samson beginning with his birth. In fact, if you read the Old Testament and the New Testament combined, you discover several amazing births in the pages of the Bible. Now, we're familiar with some of them. We're all familiar with the amazing birth of Isaac, are we not? Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90. The amazing birth when Isaac was born. We're familiar with the birth of John the Baptist. Zacharias and Elizabeth were beyond the age of having children. She was barren, could not bear, but an angel appeared, said, "You're going to have a baby, name him John." And God gave a miraculous birth. We know the story of Mary, do we not? How that she had never known a man, but the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, and a possible thing happened, and Jesus Christ was born unto Mary. But in Judges chapter 13, we read an impossible birth happen one more time. There's a man by the name of Manoah and his wife, and the Bible says that she is barren, that she cannot have children. But something amazing happens in Judges 13. The angel of the Lord appears to this woman and promises her who is barren a child. This was going to be a miracle birth, and this was going to be a miracle baby. In fact, the entirety of Judges 13 describes for us the angel's promise of this miracle child. This baby was to be named Samson. He was to be a special child. And because he was a special child, his birth would come with some special conditions. Namely, the angel of the Lord says this, he'll be a Nazirite from birth. That means he can't eat or drink anything that comes from the vine. He cannot touch anything that is dead, and he can't ever cut his hair. The angel said to Manoah and his wife, "Don't do any of these things." The parents obeyed the Lord. They kept his commandments. They raised their child the way that God told them to raise their child. But when we come to Judges chapter 14, Samson is old enough to make his own decisions. And he begins in this chapter to live a reckless lifestyle. He is not concerned about the things of God in his life like he should have been. And he begins to play games. He begins to play games with sin. I don't have time to read you all the verses. You can study it for yourself. But you'll discover in chapter 14, he begins by marrying a woman who's a Philistine. The Bible says he goes down to Timnah and he sees a woman there and he desires her and says, "I've got to have her." And he comes back home and he says, "Mom, Dad, I've seen this Philistine woman. I want her. Go get her for me." And his parents have wisdom, Brother Wally. They say, "Don't you know that you should not be marrying a woman that's a Philistine? You can't do this wickedness, Samson." And he said, "But she pleases me and I want her." God had called him to make war with the Philistines, and he's planning a wedding instead. If you read in the same chapter, you'll discover that as he goes down into Timnah, where this woman is, the Bible says something very interesting. It says he goes to Timnah by going through a vineyard. Now you think about something with me. If he is not supposed to eat or drink anything that comes from the vine, what in the world is he doing going down into a vineyard? He's playing a game is what he's playing. He's saying, I can handle this. I can deal with this. This is not going to hurt me. In fact, when he gets in the vineyard, a lion comes up against him. And I just can't help but wonder if that lion wasn't a warning from God saying, you've got no business being here. And he kills the lion. We know the story. Goes to Timnah, comes back. And days later, he goes to Timnah again. And guess what he does? He goes by the way of the vineyard one more time. And this time he goes by the way of the vineyard and he sees the lion that he killed, and inside of it is a swarm of bees, and they've made a honeycomb. They've made a nest. And you know what Samson does? He reaches in there and he grabs the honeycomb and he goes off eating it. Now think about this. God said he's a Nazirite from birth. He's not supposed to touch anything that comes from the vine. He's already messed that up. God said he's not supposed to touch anything that is dead. And when he reached inside of that lion and he got that honeycomb, he disobeyed God again and he touched something he never should have touched. And he gloated in it. He gloated in it. The verses I just read to you, he is in Timnah and he's making a game of his sin. I've got a riddle for you. Oh, the one that was going to take life is the one that become life. The eater become the food is his riddle. And he's playing a game with this lion and with this honeycomb. This man, little by little, is turning his back on God. He is playing a game. And the game he is playing is a game with sin. Amen. From the very moment he can make decisions for himself, he was making light and having fun with things he should not have been touching. He shouldn't have taken the honey from the carcass of the lion. He shouldn't have gloated on about sin like he did. The Bible says this, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 5:20, Isaiah said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And that is exactly what Samson was doing. He was making light of sin. He was playing a game with sin. And that is the exact thing that so many are doing today. They've made a game with sin. Sin something pleasurable to them. Sin is something that they enjoy doing. This has always been the way that sin begins. Sin always starts as fun. Sin always starts as pleasure. And we play with it. I thought about Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 25. It's speaking of Moses. And it says, Moses choosing rather to suffer the afflictions of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, sin always begins as pleasurable. The problem is that Samson, while he's playing with sin, he is losing his testimony. He was called to deliver the children of God from the Philistines, and now he's messing around with them. Marrying him. He's losing his family. His mom and dad, Samson, you know better. Samson, we raised you better than this. Samson, this is not what God wants for you. I don't care, mom and dad. I want my sin. It's costing his family. It's costing innocent people destruction as well. He puts forth that riddle about the lion and the honey. And we know the way the story progresses, that the woman he's supposed to marry is threatened by the Philistines, and she convinces him to tell her the meaning of the riddle, and he tells it to the Philistines, and he loses, and he has to pay with 30 sheets and 30 changes of raiment. So you know what he does? Brother Stevie goes and he finds 30 innocent men and he kills them. Takes their clothes, takes their garments, so he can pay for his sin and pay for his debt. Now he's hurting innocent people. because he's playing a game with sin. Number two, not only do I see the game of sin, but I see the grind of sin. Not only the game of sin, but the grind of sin. If you're still in chapter 16, look at verse 4. The Bible says, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." In chapter 14, he's playing games with sin. In chapter 15, he wins great victories. He wins great battles. The unfortunate thing is that they were Samson's battles, not the Lord's battles. He was called to fight for the Lord, but he's fighting for Samson. He's too busy worrying about himself. When you get to chapter 16, he's back to his old ways. In fact, chapter 16, verse 1, 2, and 3, he goes down and visits a harlot, a prostitute in Gaza. I believe that God just throws that in there to let us know that sin never left his heart. He's winning battles in chapter 15, but sin's still there. You know, can I say something in passing? Can I say sometimes we are able to bury sin and hide sin deep down in our heart where other people can't see it, but that doesn't mean it's not still there. You just give it enough time, neighbor, and it'll come back on you. Yeah, you better give it to God. You better confess it to God and let him get it out of you, or it'll come back eventually. He judged Israel for 20 years, but sin never left him. He goes down to visit a prostitute in Gaza. And then after he visits the prostitute, the Bible says in verse 4 that he falls in love with a woman he never should have fell in love with. Samson had a woman problem, don't you think? Marries that woman in Timnah, goes down to that prostitute. Now he's marrying Delilah. The name Delilah means to weaken, is what it means. He never should have messed with her. He never should have fooled with her. But he couldn't stop playing with sin. We know the way the story goes. The Philistines paid Delilah a large sum of money in order to discover the secret of his power. She accepts the money and begins the process of trying to figure out what makes Samson so strong. Now, you'll have to help me with this. I've never understood this. I don't think I've understood it before this week. I think God showed it to me, though. I've never understood before this week why Samson never caught on to what was going on when he was messing with Delilah. What makes you so strong, Samson? And he would tell her. And then she would do, Brother Steve, the very thing that he said made him weak. Now, the very first time, Grandpa, that happened, you'd have thought he'd have said, "This girl is crazy. She's no good. I got to get out of this situation." But he just keeps going back. What makes you so strong, Samson? And he would tell her something else. If they bind me with new flax that's never, you know, or I'll become weak like another man. And she would bind him. If they braid my hair, and she would braid his hair. And over and over and over again it went. Why, Samson, can't you see what's going on? But God showed me something this week. I believe the Lord showed me this. The Lord showed me this week that it wasn't that Samson didn't know what was going on. He did know what was going on. He knew the whole time what she was doing. But this was another one of his games. He had been able to play with sin before and get by with it. He had played with sin and everything had turned out okay. So why couldn't he play with sin again this time? But the problem is this. This time sin wasn't just a game. This time sin was a grind. This time sin began to wear at him and grind at him. For days, Delilah would ask him about his power. And when he would not give her the correct answer, she would pout and she would cry and she would play games with his emotions. Samson thought he was strong enough to control it, but he was wrong. Sin ground at him, and little by little he lost his control. And it would not be long before the thing he was controlling was controlling him. Sin wore him down. I feel like I need to say tonight that sin is a grind. What starts out as a game in your life will begin to wear on you little by little over time. You think you are strong enough to keep playing its game, but you are wrong. Sin will wear you down until sin controls your life. Why do you think Paul said to the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust? Why do you think he said flee from it? Because you can't handle it. Run away from it as fast as you can. Think about Samson. Samson just kept going back to Delilah over and over again as it ground on him and it cost him everything. The opposite of this is a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph is in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife comes to him and says, lay with me, Joseph. And Joseph said, my master's gave me everything but you. I cannot do that which is evil. I'll never do it. No, I'll never do it. And day by day, she begged him, lay with me, Joseph. And you know what the Bible says Joseph did? The Bible says he left his coat and he ran from her. You know why people are overtaken in sin today? You know why people are doing things they never thought they would do? They're messed up in things they never thought they'd be messed up in because they kept playing with it. It kept grinding on them when they should have been running from it. When temptation and sin enters your life, the best thing you can do is run. What was it that made Samson so powerful? It was that hair, right? That hair. You know, the Bible tells us something pretty interesting in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It tells us that a woman's hair is her glory, right? It's her glory. It's what separates her is what the Bible's saying. You could almost say it like this. When it says it's her glory, you could say it's her crown. Okay? Now, Samson's hair was his glory. I don't think I'm stretching things when I say it was his crown. You know what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11? It says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Samson didn't hold fast. And it cost him his crown. I see the game of sin, the grind of sin. Number three, I see the goal of sin, the goal of sin. The Bible says in chapter 16, verse 19 through 21, it says, and she made him sleep upon her knee. She called for a man and caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And here it is, and wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. The thing that he one time played with now controls him. Sin has made him a captive and it has made him a slave. What a shame it must have been to have been Samson. Can you imagine that day he goes out there and he's... And they grab him and they take a hold of him. And the man that killed thousands with the jawbone of a donkey can't break free. And he can't get loose. And in his mind, I believe he wonders, what's going on? What has happened? What is going on in my life? Did not know the Lord was gone. He'd played one too many games with sin. The enemy captures him. The enemy puts out his eyes. The enemy makes him grind like an animal in the prison house. Do you know that Samson is one of three characters in your Bible that's associated with darkness? And all three of them fall prey to sin. The first one is King Saul. The Bible tells us that Saul, after God had departed from him, Samuel had died. He's going to go to battle and he can't get a hold of God because God had left him. And so the Bible tells us this. It tells us he goes out by night in the darkness and finds a witch at Endor. God had left him and he didn't know it. The other one's a man by the name of Judas. John tells us in his gospel that very night in the upper room, Jesus tried and tried and tried to get a hold of Judas, but Judas wouldn't turn. Judas wouldn't relent of his sin, and Satan entered into Judas. And when that happened, Jesus looked him in the eyes and he said, "What thou doest, do quickly." And the scripture says that Judas left the upper room, shut the door, and the Bible says this, and it was dark. He stepped from the light of the upper room into the darkness of sin, never to return. And now here's this man, the mighty Samson, the miracle baby Samson, the man that was supposed to deliver God's people, Samson. And he's living in darkness because they've put out his eyes. The man that began with such a bright ray of light is now blind. The sin that began as a game will grind at you until it makes you its slave. I wrote this down in my notes. No one ever intends to be addicted to drugs and alcohol. No one ever intends to cheat on their spouse and ruin their marriage. Nobody ever intends to lose all their money to gambling debt. No one ever intends to ruin their testimony and get out of church. But once sin has you in its grasp, you're doomed. I thought of a preacher, I'll not call his name. I thought of a preacher that pastored a very large church in Indiana. One of the biggest independent Baptist churches in America. Had thousands. But sin began to grind at him little by little. Until eventually, he was leaving the state with a young 16-year-old girl in his church that he was counseling and having an affair with her. While we're in church tonight, he is in prison. Pastoring one of the biggest independent Baptist churches in America. When they ask him what happened, he said the church took a financial downturn with money. And he said, "I had to work extra hours. I was working sometimes 60 hours a week, which included doing all the counseling myself. And I started counseling this girl and by myself, and one thing led to another." You know what the reality is? Is that sin ground at him until it had him in its grasp. You see, that'll never happen to me, preacher. Nobody ever thinks it'll happen to them. Everybody always says, "I'm the exception," but you're not the exception. Number four, I'm out of here. I see the game of sin, the grind of sin, the goal of sin. Number four, I see the God who forgives sin. The God who forgives sin. Look at chapter 16. If you still got your Bible open, please, in verse 22. He's grinding in the prison house. Verse 21. Verse 22. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. This one verse is a bright light in the midst of a terrible story. Samson's power, the reality is, was not in his hair. Samson's power was in the Lord. His hair was just an outward symbol of the power of God upon his life. Therefore, when the Bible tells us that his hair began to grow again, it is telling us that Samson is getting back into fellowship with God. See, I said this was playing games with God. It was playing games with God because God had given a purpose to his life, and he played with it. God had given power to his life, and he played with it. But now I see that God is giving forgiveness to his life. Now, I don't know, I'm reading between the lines. This is in the Sharp Authorized Edition. I'm reading between the lines here, but I believe this is what happened. Dad, I believe every day he would get that tool and he would begin to walk around and grind in that prison house. And as he would grind, I believe he started praying. In his darkness, I believe he'd start praying. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I believe he started in Timnah. God, I never should have went down to Timnah. God, I'm sorry. I messed around with that woman. I never should have messed around with that woman. God, she wasn't right. My mom and dad tried to tell me she wasn't right, and I knew better. God, I never should have played games. I never should have went down to that vineyard. I never should have ate from that line. God, I know I shouldn't have, and I'm sorry. God, I never should have went down to Gaza where that prostitute was. God, I'm sorry I messed around with Delilah. God, I should have seen it, and I'm sorry, God. Whether he realized it or not, something was happening. And his hair was growing, and God was giving forgiveness. You know why? Because he was confessing sin. He was forsaken sin. Oh, God, I'm sorry. You know what you better do if you've got sin in your life? You better stop playing with it. You better stop letting it grind at you. And you better get on an altar somewhere and say, oh, God, this is what I've done. And, oh, God, I'm sorry. I never should have messed with that. God, help me to not. He was praying. For days it went on, and for days his hair grew. Finally, the day came when Samson surrendered his life to the will of God, what he should have done all those chapters ago. And in chapter number 16, verse 28, 29, 30, Samson says, God, would you hear my voice one more time and let me die with the Philistines? The man that was called to deliver his people from the Philistines would have the little boy that led him around. Samson had been to Timnah. Samson had been to, he had seen this temple. He knew where the pillars were. And I believe he felt something inside of him he'd not felt in a long time. It was the touch of God. It was the power of God. Samson said, boy, would you just put my hands, I'm tired, put my hands on the pillar of the temple. And he put his hands on those pillars and he prayed that prayer. And he pushed and God helped. And he slayed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life, the Bible says. God let his hair grow. God let him have power. God let him destroy the Philistines. Because he was honest enough to deal with God when it came to his sin. You know something I'm afraid we stopped doing in our churches? We've stopped repenting of our sins. We play with sin and we play with sin and we play with sin. And then when sin gets its grasp on us and sin shakes us and messes with our life, we'll come back to God then. But you know what we do? We just slide in on the church pew like nothing ever happened. Just go back to business as usual. But if you want the power of God in your life once again, you'll get down to business with God. You will confess your sins. But the great thing is this. 1 John 1:9 says, if thou shalt confess thy sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I believe when Samson put his hands on the pillars of that temple, he stood there right before God. All those things he had done had been washed away. He was clean in the eyes of God. And God let him have power one more time. And God will let you have power one more time, but you've got to be honest with him. I wonder, while we close our eyes, bow our heads, and begin to pray, I wonder if there's a Samson in the room tonight. I wonder if there's a Samson in the room tonight. And you say, Brother Josh, I've made some mistakes and I've failed God and I need forgiveness tonight. Maybe that's you and you want to come pray, God, forgive me. God, give me that touch again. Give me that power again. Or maybe you're here tonight and this was a warning to you and you want to come and pray, God, help my life. God, guard my life. Let me never go the way of Samson, but may I serve you every day of my life. I'm not strong enough. God, you give me help. Whatever it is, if you need to pray, these altars are open. We invite you to come pray. Anybody need to come? Some are praying. Others ought to be praying. In fact, I'm going to pray in just a minute. You know, the truth is that if we were all honest, we would all say, God, don't let me be a Samson. God, don't let me be a Samson. Let me serve you every day of my life. If you need to pray while these altars are filling up, you come. You come.